And welcome to another exciting edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
Inspector Zenigata, the ICPO.
I don't believe you. Let's see who you really are behind that mask.
Hey, boss.
I don't believe you. Let's see who you are really behind that mask.
It's Goemon.
Matthew McConaughey.
All right. I'm here to talk about some anime with y'all.
He probably fucking digs anime.
Nothing I like to do better than smoking a bowl, playing my bongos naked, and watching some anime.
Out in the desert,
watching Lupin III. All right.
In my Lincoln.
How do you think I got there? In the desert all alone. In my Lincoln. Listening to some Joe Hisaishi anime tunes. All right.
He probably dig it. Anyways, joining me as always, Gus, the brother of the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory, and here we are. Indeed, we mentioned this a couple weeks back. April was anime month. Are we in April? No. Shut up, Ben. We are in May. However, we had a bit of a technical difficulty back on the Paprika episode, which if you haven't listened to yet, what are you waiting for? But we mentioned that, you know, we had some technical difficulties. Our audio, when we first recorded it, did not go through, so we had to record it the following week, which put us a week behind schedule. So we find ourselves closing out anime month a week into May. So what? Who cares? No one. You just have to deal with another day of anime. How you doing? here we are, finishing out anime month. The Brothers Movie Factory, what we do here every week, we watch a film, we then take to the pod to discuss said film, what worked, what didn't, what we liked, what we didn't, then we submit that movie to the factory. That's where we take the film we just watched, and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it, who would compose it, who would star? Same film, same story, just modern booking for the modern audience. Now, as I've been saying for the past couple weeks, we have been evolving very much so. We've been going very much Goku to Goku Super Saiyan 1, very much, I was about to say Mew to Mewtwo, but that's not really an evolution. That's just cheating science.
How about Mario, when he eats a mushroom, he evolves, yeah. Changes.
Yeah, we're going Yondu to Mary Poppins. We're getting there.
We're getting there, y'all.
Yeah, but we've been changing up the factory a little bit here and there, doing different things, not always doing, you know, modern booking. Maybe we're doing retro recasts, or maybe we're doing something where we take an animated film, which we've done a couple times during anime month, and imagining what it would look like with a live action cast. However, for today's film, since we're closing out anime month, we're just going to close out with, instead of a factory, a traditional factory, we're going to close out with our favorite anime memories / moments. And so with that out of the way, let's get into what we're watching today. Great rhyme, and I hope I peaked the mic there.
Yeah, we are.
Getting into Castle of Cagliostro tonight. Lupin the Third, I believe, the first animated Studio Ghibli film I maybe watched that I remember. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe it was Totoro. That was a very long time ago. Totoro is getting dangerously close to falling into that realm of I haven't seen it in so long. I've never seen it.
Well, let me correct you all around, because Lupin the Third, Castle Cagliostro is not a Studio Ghibli film. It is
shit.
It is the directorial debut, I guess feature film directorial debut of Hayao Miyazaki, who founded Studio Ghibli, who made such classics as My Neighbor Totoro, Castle in the Sky, Kiki's Delivery Service, Spirited Away, Howl's Moving Castle, so on and many more. Princess Mononoke. Okay. I could see the blood boiling in your eyes.
The other Studio Ghibli movie we've done.
We did Whisper of the Heart.
Shit, that's good. Only other Hayao Miyazaki film we've done.
Indeed. You get that confused because it fit in with all our other Ghibli films.
Yeah. As it should, because...
To correct you even further, you insolent pig, this was not the first. You had seen Princess Mononoke prior to this, you saw Howl's Moving Castle prior to this, you've seen Kiki's and Castle in the Sky, you've seen them all.
Stay back! I'm warning you!
Because I got this in 2006.
Shit.
Yeah.
Did you have this before other Lupins?
This is the first Lupin I'd ever been introduced to. And I'm sure we shall talk about that here very shortly. But yes, it was a Christmas Day. Got this. Got History of the Undertaker. And
I got a PSP that year.
Yeah. And
that's sad world. This is what I remember.
Yeah. And we all laid on the floor and watched Lupin the Third Castle Cagliostro.
Well, Christmas Day. You watched. I remember very vividly. Mother went back to bed. Dad fell asleep on the couch. You fell asleep watching Undertaker. Yeah. And I, for some reason, I feel like I got. Did I get a PSP and Imagine X that year or something? The Heroescapes or whatever.
Maybe.
I think I did. But I just remember I stayed up. Because I got Need for Speed.
Hell yeah.
Need for Speed. Midnight Club 3 Dub Edition and Twisted Metal. Head on.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Hot. A lot of car games.
I remember seeing this film, though, at Walmart. It was... They just re-released it on DVD. I had never heard or seen of it before. But I see on the very top of it... I'll grab it here. It says... from the director of Spirited Away, a Hayao Miyazaki film. That caught my eye. I'm like, what the hell is this? Also right on the front of the cover... One of the greatest adventure movies of all time, Steven Spielberg.
Shit.
Caught my eye as well.
If you look closer, it says his comments on Indiana Jones. They just took it.
It's a clever and charming mix of romance, comedy, adventure, and action that keeps viewers hooked, not to be missed.
And hey, it's cool.
It is cool. And you know
what? 9 out of 10 people would look at that cover and say, nah. They'd see all those words and not even care.
See all these words and not even know how to pronounce
them. Disappear like a turd in the wind.
I remember watching it and being so surprised by it. And that's one of the main reasons I wanted to talk about it here on the show, is to broaden the eyes of our Spit listeners. Spread the word of this
Lupin or Lupin, depending on which one you watch.
To spread the word of underrated anime movies, and I truly feel like this is underrated. Not many people talk about Lupin, which is odd because in the anime genre, in the anime world, in the art of it all, Lupin is an icon. He's one of the longest running animes of all time. It's not consistently run, but it's never been canceled and rebooted. It's been going since the 70s. The manga, which it's based on, written by author Monkey Punch, I think started in 1967. So it's been going for a long time.
Yeah.
Long and strong. And what's interesting is when it became an anime, it was... It was regarded as the first anime for adults, not in the hentai sort of sense, but
more, not like your Speed Racers and your Gundams. And
it was more like in the PG-13 kind of sense, maybe even an R-rated.
Got Fujiko in there, jeez.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. And she's an icon, too, for the women of anime.
She has her own show as well, Fujiko, which we'll talk about Fujiko later.
Fujiko Mine, yeah. Or Mine. It's so funny.
It changes depending on what dub you're watching.
Yeah. Just like Lupin's name. Yeah. Lupin. Lupin. Wolf.
Yeah.
Rupon.
Oh, my God. It's too hard. Just say wolf. It's what it means.
Yeah. So the first film, we'll just mainly focus on the films. There is a long-running show. I've watched some of it. I own some of it. I'm even currently watching the newest season, which is delightful. But the movies are really what got me sucked into this character. The first movie came out in 1978, a year before this one. This is actually the second film in the franchise, Lupin the Third Castle Cagliostro.
What was the first movie?
Mystery of Mamo. I have it over there, too.
I was going to say, have I ever seen that?
No, no,
that was one that you recently got.
Yeah, I actually got it at TechoCon a few years ago, first anime convention.
First and only.
Yeah, I guess to date.
Because of COVID.
But I found out through that there's five dubs. Five different dubs of that movie. And the reason of that is, well, different regions.
All English dubs?
Mm-hmm. Five different English dubs. Different regions, different countries. And in Japan, Lupin is not copywritten. It's, I guess, what's the word? Like, I don't know if royalty-free is the right word, but regardless. Because it's based off of the character Arsène Lupin, yeah. the master thief from, is that French stories, I believe?
Is it Arsène or Arsène?
Arsène, same thing. Same. Just depends on where you're from, how you pronounce it. So in Japan, it's royalty-free. Other places, that name is copywritten. So they would change it based on the region. Like North America and Europe, Lupin was copywritten. So sometimes you hear it more pronounced like French, like Lupin, sort of Lupin, or Wolf, as I mentioned. I think in the original North American English dub, which is the one on Netflix, which you've seen more than you think.
Yeah. Wasn't it this version?
No, it's not. It's a different dub.
Really?
Yeah, on Netflix, it's the one that they say Wolf.
Yeah, and it's still Sonny Strait, though. Really? It's not Sonny Strait?
This isn't even Sonny Strait.
Shit.
So, Sonny Strait.
Krillin himself.
Yeah, Sonny Strait is a voice actor. He mainly works with Funimation Studios. He's famous for voicing Krillin on Dragon Ball Z. In the actually shortly after this, like 2005, 2006, the Funimation got the rights to about 8 Lupin the Third films, and they did their own dubs for 8 of them. Castle Cagliostro was not one of them.
Hmm.
So, and it's funny because I like that voice cast of those 8 films.
Yeah. It's probably because those are the ones you have the most consistency with.
Yeah. But even beyond that, like, I prefer Sonny Strait as Lupin. I prefer Chris Sabat as Jigen, his, like, right-hand man. Like, Chris Sabat's gruffness, where he's like, hey, boss. But in this, he's like, Lupin!
Yeah.
We're rich bastards! I'm like, ah, come on. Zenigata, I don't know the voice actor in the Funimation dubs, but that's the impression I did at the beginning. It's like, Inspector Zenigata. But in this, it's like, Inspector Zenigata. He sounds more like a pirate.
Yar.
Maybe that's my porn impression. Yar.
Your porn impression? No.
And then there's Fujiko.
Yes.
And then, that's just my opinion. Most people enjoy the show cast because they've done it the most. They've been doing the English dub for the TV show since it was brought over to America.
It's interesting that 2000s. So Funimation doesn't have the rights to the dubbing of the TV show, even to today.
No.
Even that would drive me nuts. Here are these Dragon Ball Z movies dubbed by nobodies, and then here's the show. Choose your favorites.
Even the most recent Lupin the Third film came out 2019, came here to America in 2021.
Nice.
It's all CGI. It's all CGI animated.
I want to watch that.
It's good. Lupin the
Third. You need to buy it. For me.
It's right up there.
Do we have a digital copy?
I don't know. Lupin the Third, the first. I got it and popped it in. And tell you what, there's something about seeing something you're so used to being hand drawn, animated, especially in anime. And when you see it CGI, at first, it's like, ugh, this feels weird.
It loses some of its heart. I noticed that with Earwig and the... Is it Earwig and the Witch? The new Studio Ghibli's newest film.
That's a different story,
I understand that, but it's not even that. The first impression of that film, being the first CGI film by Studio Ghibli, same with this Lupin being the first Lupin movie that's CGI. It loses a degree of, like, you feel the blood, sweat, and tears that goes into drawing every single frame and all that shit, and you can appreciate it. I'm not saying that you can't appreciate, like, a Pixar movie, by any sense of the mean, or a DreamWorks film or something along those lines.
Right.
But at the same time, because they all have their own individual heart, their art style, anime art style, is so unique. There's a reason that people can say that's anime, because the art style is very unique to anime and their animation and everything, and so it loses a lot of its heart when you go to digital, and you a lot of times, I think, lose the expressions that you can display and stuff, because you get that the artist's take as they're drawing the image,
yeah.
You know, versus literal code that you're punching into a computer. It's a very different feel, because yeah. No longer is it, you know, how you're feeling as you're drawing, and this is very deep, I guess, feel on that, but now it's just code,
sort of, and there could be a debate for that, but
oh yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm not saying Pixar, right? Toy Story right. 3 make it ball. Toy Story 4, fuck.
I'll use these two anime films as an example. Earwig and the Witch, first CGI by Studio Ghibli. Its issue is poorly animated. It just didn't pull it off. It's hard to put into words without one seeing it, but I also don't recommend seeing it. It's very like a C grade movie for me. It's fine. It's charming. It's harmless, but knowing that it's from Studio Ghibli and knowing what I'm seeing, if it was hand drawn the way they typically do in their art style, it would be so much better. The Lupin the first CGI movie, it's actually very well, or animated very well. And
is it, since it's called Lupin the First, is that just a play on it, like play on the phrase Lupin the Third? Because in the story, he is the great great grandson of Lupin, Arsène Lupin, or Arsène Lupin. I say Arsène because of Persona, but
yeah,
Arsène Lupin. Is it about the original Lupin, or is it our Lupin as we know it?
It's our Lupin, but it is about a caper that his great great grandfather went on. Okay. So it's about him, but about his grandfather's treasure that he could never get. So he's gonna go get it.
I am your grandfather.
I'll let you borrow it. You check it out.
Or it's digital.
It could be. I don't think it is.
Where is it? Up there on the shelf.
It's on the anime shelf, up yonder cinder.
Up right, yonder cinder. I see. Okay. I'm going to go find
them.
It.
You see them?
Keep talking.
I will. You see the golden Ghibli?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right next to that. So there's so many of these Lupin the Third movies. That was the most recent one I saw. Oh, that's what I was saying. The voice cast in that is by the people who do the TV show. So for me, I had to get used to that more than anything. And it can be messy going through the loop in the third line, because there's so much content of it. And I guess the voice acting isn't consistent in sound, but the quality has always been pretty good, I think. Some people prefer, going back to our movie tonight, Castle Cagliostro, some people prefer the original dub, which was done, I think, in 1992, which is one on Netflix. I prefer this one, which is done in 2002.
And the reason you prefer it is because it's what you grew up with, or what you were first introduced to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've watched the Netflix one even recently, and the lines are different. Yeah. I'm just like, oh, what the...
The past two times I've watched it, it's been on Netflix.
Yeah, I know. It's very convenient, and I do recommend people watching it on there if it is convenient to them to watch it on Netflix. Yeah, check
it's
it
not
out.
It's not your typical run-of-the-mill anime, because, like you said, it is more adult. It doesn't have your anime cliche tropes, so to speak. No one's getting bloody noses seeing a hot woman, or, which I never understood, but I fully agree with. But, it does have more of that. It just feels like it's one of those. It's a classic anime movie where I would say if it was live action versus animated, it's better animated than live action. It could be a shot-for-shot remake. It'd be better animated just because you get the heart and the feel and everything from it. So, yeah. I don't think it's... I think a non-anime lover could watch this film and come out of it thinking, like, that wasn't anime.
Yeah, it's just a good, good cozy movie. And you're going to hear that word a lot tonight. Cozy. It is cozy. Cozy, cozy.
First time I watched this in years was, I think, 4 years ago. And I started, I believe I texted you the next day because I fell asleep almost immediately because it was too cozy.
Yeah. Where was I going with this? Oh, so I guess... The character of Lupin the Third, the concept, the characters, is our favorite Lupin here. He is a thief.
Yes.
He's a gentleman thief. And he's a playboy. He's...
Billionaire playboy flamp.
He's a jack of all trades. He's a master of disguise. And each story is him trying to find a treasure. There's usually a bigger villain involved. Yes. Trying to destroy the world or steal the treasure, and he has to save the day, steal the treasure, save the girl kind of stories. And the other characters that are usually part of his group are his right-hand man, Jigen.
Cigarette-smoking baller.
Cigarette-smoking, limousine riding. yeah, he's more the laid-back, hat over the eyes, gunslinger.
Do you ever see his eyes?
You do sometimes, yeah. He's a crack shot with the gun, rarely misses kind of guy.
He's the sidekick. At the end of the day, he's a big-time sidekick.
You got Goemon.
Yes.
Who's a...
Samurai master.
Yeah, samurai, who has the sword that can... Called the Almighty. Can cut through anything, and it does. There's some movies...
He says, fear not, citizens!
No. he's actually voiced by the guy who does Otto in The Simpsons and the Funimation.
Shit.
Dubs.
Whoa!
Yeah. He's like, I'm Goemon! I've seen him cut... In my real life, I've seen him cut through a jet clear down the middle.
When you're playing Persona 5 right now, pleasure, but did it make you get real excited when and this isn't a spoiler because it's on the cover, but when Yusuke summoned his persona and he's like, come Goemon,
I thought of Lupin the Third.
Thank God
I did.
You're my favorite now. I'm gonna bench you.
I was like, where's your sword?
He does have a sword.
It's kind of a sword. It looks like
he has a paintbrush, but Yusuke uses a sword.
Okay. I don't use him, so
yeah, see, you need to use him.
There's one great movie, I think it's called The Columbus Files, where they create there's a treasure that can control the weather, and
Obama had.
The villain creates a tornado. He creates a tornado, and Goemon cuts through a tornado.
Shit.
Fuck.
But he's not your hero. I think I'm close to them. You keep telling me to get close.
You gotta be like...
I got to be eating this.
Yeah, you got
to
eat it.
I'm not used to it. We guess we didn't preface this episode. We are back in-house. We were in-house, what, 3 episodes ago? 4 episodes ago we were in-house? Back in studio, and then we moved back remote, and here we are back to in-studio. It's at our leisure.
We got to do
leisure, depending on your dub.
And say, we got to do what we got to do to get it in, because, you know, we both live...
Rephrase that.
Brothers? We both got to do what we got to do, because we live busy lives, or we have different schedules, or you're moving, or you're working, or whatever. So it's like, hey, what day of the week can you record? And we either record remotely or in person now, so it's going to be like that. Indeed. After Goemon... We got Fujiko. Fujiko Mine, Fujiko Mine. I think it's probably
Mine. It's probably Mine.
In the Funimation dub,
that would
it's Mine.
That would make very much more sense.
Yeah, it would. Much more better.
She's a femme fatale.
If there ever was one, yeah. She's very, very much the voluptuous genius, like outsmart Lupin and the bad guy.
She's his foil, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
She's
not a bad guy, but she's kind of a bad guy.
Femme fatale. There is an unsaid thing between Lupin and Fujiko.
It's amazing.
Well, they even say in this movie that occasionally they've even been lovers.
Hey.
How about?
Says right to Lady Clarice.
And
And then to wrap it all up, we got Inspector Zenigata, who works for the ICPO, and he has vowed to capture Lupin the Third. That's his life goal, and he always gets away, Lupin does.
He's Tom Hanks to Leo DiCaprio in Catch Me If You Can.
It's already cast.
That's what we're casting. Leo is Lupin. Young Leo is Lupin.
And Tom Hanks. Zenigata. Yeah. That's not bad.
That actually probably would work. Can you imagine Tom Hanks is like... Not Woody voice. His conductor voice from Polar Express.
Hot, hot, hot.
Yeah. Cheese and crackers!
Ouch.
Sorry. Did I peek the mic?
He peeked my brain.
Shit.
That kind of wraps up your mainstay characters, and then every adventure there's like a new treasure, new lady, new villain. Yes. And that's what's so fun about these movies. And initially, when Lupin started, I mean, not even initially, the character himself, it's more on the raunchy side, more on the adult side, as I mentioned. However, Castle of Cagliostro, directed by Hayao Miyazaki, he chose to make this a more mature Lupin, maybe a Lupin later in his career.
Yeah.
And
that shows.
It shows, because this movie's not raunchy.
Mm-mm.
Whereas almost all the other ones are.
I was going to say, I, for whatever reason, I have a vivid memory of one of the Lupins where, like, the guy, like, is, like, the girl, there's a girl, like, chained up, and the guy's, like, really pressing on her stomach and kind of, like, torturing her.
Yeah, that's a Crisis in Tokyo.
And that kind of, like, stuck with me because it's kind of, like, disturbing in a sense.
Yeah, he says he's gonna harvest her
like organs.
Her womb.
Yeah, and, like, yeah, and that's, like, picture that to this, which is much more, like, women throw themselves at him, and he's like, we're good.
Yeah, he's like, please, you have your life to live.
Yeah. Hold on there, miss.
you made Matthew McConaughey come back, rocking some
like, we'll
some
let
nice
you steal
abs.
This treasure for $14 million. Like, you got pass.
Gonna have to pass on that one.
Gotta go find the Castle of Cagliostro.
You are the treasure, my dear.
I'm in love. Woo!
shit. But I just to compare the two, the first Lupin film to this one, first being Mystery of Mammo, this being Castle Cagliostro, first one's not very cozy. It starts out, could be cozy. Ends up not. It's maybe my least favorite. It's not very good. It's very bizarre.
Have you only watched it once, though?
I've seen it twice.
Okay, I was going to say, whereas you've watched... You go through trends of Lupin movies where you watch them to fall asleep, so you've seen them all 10 billion times?
Well, I've seen the ones I have. So there's actually only so many that are dubbed, and I'm, you know, say what you will about me, I like to watch them in English, usually because I fall asleep to them.
Yeah, and that's what you're used to. At the end of the day, the dubbed versus sub debate... Stupid. I'm going to say it on Anime Month. Watch what you like.
Watch what you prefer.
Yeah.
I've seen Mystery Mammoth 3 times. First time I watched it, I was like, that was pretty good. Second time I watched it, I watched like the different dubs to fall asleep to. Mm. And so like over the course of many weeks, I finished it. And then last year, I watched it with a lady.
Mm.
And she's like, she loves Castle Cagliostro.
Yeah.
She's like, I want to watch more Lupin. So I brought out the stack, let her pick. She picked that one. We watched it. And I'm like, this is junk. I don't know what it was, but...
Were you going through a phase of Lupin at that point where you were watching other ones?
I think so.
So at the end of the day, it might have just been where you were like, all these other ones are my favorite, and this new one is coming in, and I don't like it as much.
I don't know. I'll have you
because it's inexperienced.
I'll have you watch some of it. You'll be like, ugh. This
really?
One, it's very rare.
You'll just show me the worst parts, though. You'd be like, see, it sucks. I'm like, yeah, it does.
Or maybe the best. It's very rated R. We'll say that. Very odd, villainous plot. The villain himself is very supernatural. And a lot of Lupin gets in the supernatural realm.
There's an artifact that controls weather.
Yeah. This one is like a giant brain that's going to destroy the Earth.
Hey, that's the treasure that keeps on giving all year round. What?
And yeah, the movie's very nonsensical. It's inappropriate. It's it has some good moments, but few and far between, if you ask me. That then go a year later and you get to this gem of a film. One that really brings out the best of each of the characters in a very mature way. great writing. The whole story of Castle Cagliostro is just so fruitful. It's like an experience watching it, I really think. I introduced it to a few people recently who had never basically even heard of Lupin the Third. And by the end of it, they're like, that was great. Yeah. That was a good time.
That's a beautiful thing, not only of this movie, Castle Cagliostro, but really any Lupin movie, is you could probably sit... I mean, it's been a long time since I've watched any of the others. I'd probably have a similar experience with any other Lupin movie that I have with a lot of the animes we've watched during this month, which is that I feel like you could introduce anyone to these movies, and they would be like, oh, that was really good. Like, you don't need to know the background of Lupin, so to speak. It's much like a James Bond movie. James Bond, every James Bond movie follows a very similar plot, so to speak, right? But there's, what, 23 James Bond movies? 24th one's coming out here soon.
Mm-hmm. 25.
And you could watch them. Is the 25th one?
Mm-hmm.
You could watch any one of them, maybe minus Quantum of Solace. But you could watch any one of them and not need any backstory,
right,
so to speak. You could just kind of watch it. And that's kind of how these are, because they all follow the same formula, so to speak. You have your familiar characters, your M's, your Q, your... what's Phoenix? Felix. Felix. It's been a while. But Felix, you have your 007, and you have your usual suspects of characters, and then there's a villain trying to destroy the world, there's the girl, you know, all that stuff. It follows the same idea, but it's like, what if it was a thief? And he was the good guy. He's a gentleman thief, and he's, you know, outsmarting them. And he's kind of like, I don't know, a charismatic figure. And it's an interesting take, but I would argue
fair comparison.
But what I'm saying, though, with that is that you can introduce this really... you could, if you can't watch Castle Cagliostro, but you have access to any other Lupin movie, maybe minus the first one, apparently... you wouldn't need to know, you know, because I'm a person that's like, I need to start at the beginning.
Yeah, but, I mean, you're right. You don't need to start from the beginning with this. It doesn't benefit anything necessarily. But I guess my argument against what you said, it's not an argument. It's more like some of the films are more enjoyable once you are accustomed to these characters, how they interact with each other.
Same with James Bond.
It may be. Yes. I mean, it's a fine comparison. I really agree. I mean,
yes.
I think this is probably the best introductory one.
Yeah.
Hayao
Miyazaki, and he's a masterclass. Yeah.
He is one of the greatest filmmakers of all time, and we got to see his first film he ever made. This movie was very rushed in production. They were given 6 months.
It doesn't really show, though. The animation's beautiful. Isn't
it? It's beautiful. It really is.
It does have that class. It came out in 79.
Yeah.
So it has a classic, like, you can tell it's dated as you're watching it.
It's a little old, but that bleeds away, because some of the backgrounds of this movie
are
gorgeous. The music's gorgeous.
Would you agree... Because I played the theme before we opened, and the theme has a very like nostalgic thing for me where I don't remember it, but as soon as I hear it, it flushes like rushes back in the brain. Would you agree that like Joe Hisaishi, who we've mentioned before, does all the Studio Ghibli movies? Probably one of he might be my favorite composer ever. He's one of your favorite
top two, three.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. If you've never heard Joe Hisaishi and you're a music fan, look him up. Score music fan, but would you say that a lot of times when you have movies like this where maybe the animation is a little dated, or even general, I mean music adds to the movie, do you think that the music with the animation, it just ties everything up into a nice neat bow and it makes everything just look better? Like, it could look like a shit on a plate, but you'd still be like, oh, this music's so peaceful, that looks like a sunset now.
I mean, yeah, that could be said for movies in general.
Yeah, true.
But I hear what you're saying, because I'm just picturing the visuals with the music of this movie, and without that, like if it was just silence, it's still beautiful, but with it, it's like enhanced.
It's like the throne room scene from Star Wars. No music, it's kind of awkward.
Yeah. One of my favorite memories of this movie is recent. Is your bachelor party a couple years back.
I didn't watch it. I was watching Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
So you probably don't remember this because you're drunk. It was end of the night. Had an epic night of
partying, drinking, axe throwing. Yeah. It was a big night. And it's time to go to bed.
Ring tossing.
And I grabbed this movie, and I went to go upstairs, and you stopped me because you're like gonna thank me for the event. You're like, hey, thanks, I really appreciate.
I don't remember this. As you're saying it,
because you only get affectionate when you're drunk.
Apparently, I think that's true.
You like went to shake my.
I think I hugged you once. Was that this night?
It might have been.
I hugged you, and I was like, I don't hug you.
you would shake my hand. You're like, thank you for this night. It was great. And then you saw what I was holding, Lupin III. You're like, you getting cozy tonight?
Cozy.
I'm like, I'm not even gonna make it through the opening credits, and I didn't.
Yeah, it's cozy as cozy can be.
Oops, I popped that in. The opening scene's very exciting. big thievery going on.
Man, I just speaking on that opening real quick. I hadn't seen this movie until what, 5-6 years ago was when I like rewatched. I keep saying 5-6. It was probably like 3 years ago. I like rewatched this for the first time in like 8, 6, 7 years, something like that, and that. Beginning opened, and it again came rushing back in, yeah. Like just nostalgic memories. I'm like, I remember this.
And they steal some money. They realize it's counterfeit. They're
losing
like,
half of it as they run.
They're like, you know what? These are the famous goat bills. We're gonna go find where these were made.
Yeah, a really easy, simple setup.
And then the credits start, and that opening song. Cracks in and
beautiful,
and I it's just so cozy. Fall asleep.
Mm-hmm. There's something about like the Japanese style composing music that I really find very very relaxing, mm-hmm. very calming.
Yeah, this whole movie it is action packed, mm-hmm. but it has its serene moments.
Yes, in the setting and the characters and the plot even.
Yeah. So, I guess, to sum this movie up in a nutshell, like, the plot, Lupin and Jigen are traveling, and they're on their way to possibly find where these goat bills,
these counterfeit
dollars, were printed. And along the way, there's a car chase and a girl in distress. Lupin saves her.
He drives on the side of a mountain.
Hey, amazing.
Yeah. You're like, there's many supernatural. He literally drives like at a 90 degree angle just along the road.
Hey, it makes sense to me.
Yeah. Like, I guess. Which side of the 90 degrees? Well, the one that doesn't make sense.
You get the Lupin the Third theme cracking in there.
Which. Was it all the Funimation movies that theme would play in the menu?
Nope, just this one.
Just this one? So this is the one that I would wake up to at like 4 a.m. after falling in?
Just that, blaring. Blasting.
Yeah.
Which I didn't realize until later, but that is the theme to this movie. But subtly, in that same piece of music, you can hear the real Lupin the Third theme.
That's not the real theme?
No, well, the real theme is... do 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 do.
Okay, so very similar. This is just more triumphant.
Well, it has that blare like da 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 da. But if you get to like the next part, it's like do 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 do.
So it's just underneath.
Yeah, it's there. So I enjoy that. I love
Joe Hisaishi, you genius.
you smart bastard. I love the theme of Lupin. I love the music in this movie in general. Saves a girl. Turns out she's the Countess, yes. of Cagliostro. And they go to this village.
Count Cagliostro Fox.
He does. This village. Oh, a super cozy village, if you ask me. I've hosted this movie a few times.
Hosted?
Yeah, yeah.
Toasted me.
I'll tell you. I like to do a dinner and a movie.
Hmm.
And
as you do,
and I've shown this movie Lupin the Third, Count Cagliostro. How many times am I going to say the title?
Every time. We're selling this film. It's anime month.
And by hosting it, I mean I'm showing the movie to people. I'm making dinner, and because of this scene in particular, in this village, it's like a rustic Italian
like in the basement kind of restaurant, and they eat this big bowl of spaghetti with meatballs.
Spaghetti.
Yes, I've done that a few times where I make spaghetti meatballs. We watch the movie. Just to get in the mood.
Something about anime food.
Yeah. It
looks good.
The Lupin experience, I guess. They
finally watch this movie in 4D. Here's your spaghetti. You gotta wait for this scene. Same watching Dragon Ball Z. You're like, we can only eat when Goku eats. But once he's done, you can't eat anymore. So you gotta eat fast.
Because they're eating fast. Like, you find out in this scene that the Lady Clarice is the girl's name. She is due to be married to the Count.
A real bastard.
He is a real bastard. Mean bastard. You have to hang. And Lupin and Jigen mysteriously go to this beautiful landscape. This, I guess, this decrepit castle.
Yes.
And
of Cagliostro?
Potentially. Lupin himself is kind of lost in his thoughts.
Yes.
And you get the sense that maybe he's been here before. And the adventure ensues from there. Lupin not only was initially trying to find this treasure, but now he's trying to save a girl.
Yes.
And find out the mystery of Cagliostro itself. The family secret, the castle secret, the treasure secret.
And that's kind of the beauty of Lupin that ties him away from, like, a regular old thief. Like, a lot of times you hear the word thief, you think villain. And we say gentleman thief. He's more akin to... In Indiana Jones, he's doing things...
The Robin Hood.
Yeah, he's obviously stealing for himself, and it's what he's good at. He's a master thief, but it's also more, he helps people, he does good things. But a lot of times, his motivation is more like he's trying to save someone, or he's trying to just figure it out. Like, his curiosity is piqued, and he's like, I'm going to figure this out. I mean, they rob a bank, and they're like, these bills are counterfeit. They're really good, though. Let's figure out where they're from. And that literally leads them into this entire movie of being like, if we can figure this out, we could probably make our own money.
Maybe.
Kind of deal. Like, it's interesting because it sets him apart in that he, if you take away that charisma and that, like, he's good to people and saves people and stuff, he's a villain.
Yeah.
But they very tie him up in a very scoundrel kind of way, very Han Solo-esque way, so to speak.
What other Harrison Ford characters he like? Indiana Jones, Han Solo?
A very fugitive kind of, wait.
Yeah, he's very akin to...
very like, news anchor from Anchorman 2 kind of way.
Like Disney's Robin Hood, like a sexy fox.
Oh, I was like, I don't know why I went right to Russell Crowe. Like a sexy Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe, no. That doesn't exist.
Robin Hood. That doesn't exist. No. Have you watched Les Miserables?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You got me there, Ray. So, yeah, I don't want to spoil the plot or the joy of this movie. It's really best served unknown.
Yes.
Just go into it.
I do want to touch base on one story element, but we'll label it as a spoiler because it is the end of the film.
Okay.
But you know where I'm going with that.
Sure. Yeah, we do.
Because I have to touch base on that. Yeah. I have to talk about that.
Yeah, that's good.
The fact that we know that without really any words spoken other, it's something that happens at the end, speaks volumes.
Yeah. You got Zenigata here, and... Zenigata vows his life to capture Lupin. They're enemies.
Frenemies.
Frenemies, potentially, you know.
I think it's a mutual respect kind of thing.
Almost. They know what they're each capable of. Yes. How about that?
But Lupin's always one step ahead of the bad guy.
I love the banter and the headbutting of these two characters throughout the franchise. Maybe at its best in this movie. Maybe.
Again, possibly because of Hayao Miyazaki.
Possibly. And the writing of this story.
Yes.
The way it's executed.
Did
for sure.
Hayao Miyazaki have a say? Is this his directorial debut? Did he have a say in the screenwriting?
You know, I couldn't tell you. Yes. He and Haruya Yamazaki wrote it.
There it is.
Yeah. So, absolutely, he had a hand in it, I guess.
He wrote it.
Yeah, okay. And So let me gander my thoughts here. Let me gather them. I can tell you, over the years, I've gandered many a loop in the third film. And I don't even have close to how many there actually are. I have almost all the ones that are in English dub. There's a lot that have never been translated.
Yeah,
there's over 40 Loop in the Third movies. 40.
What's crazy is it's funny that, you know, we say that it's a very important series to anime, and it's maybe one that's underappreciated or underestimated or whatever word you want to use to say that it's not really seen in a big, massive light in terms of anime.
Maybe overlooked.
But even, you know, we were setting up Anime Month, and this wasn't your first choice. And this is something that you watch almost every year. You do watch every year, I would argue. But it wasn't even your first choice.
No, that's the kind of thing that can happen on the Brothers Movie Factory. Sure. Roll with the punches.
Yeah.
This is one I definitely wanted to discuss at some point,
yeah.
You know, since we started the show in general.
Because it's important to cinema.
It's important to me,
yeah.
In general. It's one of my, like I said, you're going to hear it a lot. It's one of my coziest movies. I'm a big advocate of the cozy. I love falling asleep to a movie. I really do. And, but I can't just fall asleep.
I hate that. I can't. That's where we differ.
Yeah, I can't just fall asleep to anything. Mm-hmm. Like, it can't be a new movie.
No.
Can't be,
movie like you haven't seen in a really long time.
Yeah, it can't be a horror. It can't be a comedy. Like,
really, can't be a comedy?
Like, genre-wise?
You have to, like, stay up for the joke. You're like, I'll wait until this next joke.
That just doesn't feel cozy to me. You know, I can't fall asleep to Happy Gilmore. I love Happy Gilmore, but I can't. It's not. And that one's kind of cozy. I
can fall asleep to Godzilla.
I can fall asleep to Godzilla. Godzilla's cozy. I don't know what it is. It's definitely a.
It's because 9 times out of 10, not a lot of Godzilla's going on.
it's subjective. It's subjective. Like, what do you find to be cozy? Could be different to someone else.
Yeah.
But these Loop in the Third films in general, yeah, they're on my list of go-tos. I really only have, I say a few types, but I have a lot of movies. Any Godzilla, any James Bond, any Loop in the Third.
But you go and then in rotation.
Then I repeat.
Yeah, that's like me with Family Guy and Ancient Aliens and Ghost Adventures. I do the same thing, really. I watch...
The floor is rumbling.
Roommate Matt. But now I watch Family Guy, then I watch Ghost Adventures, then I watch Ancient Aliens, and I just do that in a loop until I'm sick of them.
Yeah, I do the same thing. I'm doing that currently with James Bond. I have been for a long time. I rotate them till I get bored of them, or not bored of them, but like I'm not in the mood anymore. I watched all of them on DVD. And then for the holiday, the lady got me them all on Blu-ray. So now I'm rewatching them on Blu-ray.
Why not?
Yeah.
You're falling asleep to them anyways. You lose half of the story.
But I've seen them so many times, yeah. I've been watching Live and Let Die for a week.
Live and Let Die.
When I watch a loop in the third film, yeah, it takes me like a week per film. I have like 10 or 12 of them, so that lasts me a good while.
Yeah.
And I find each of them cozy.
Is that your least favorite thing, though, when you have to go back through and, like, determine where you were?
Nah.
That's always my thing. I'm like, I don't know where
usually,
the hell I was.
I'm usually pretty good at remembering, like, when I rolled over or when I last closed my eyes. So last night, as an example, I remember I was, like, in that final scene. Hit scene selection, final scene, closed my eyes. Like, I didn't watch any of it. I just fell asleep.
Like, I just need to hit this button.
Yeah, I need the sound. I need the comfort.
Sonny Strait's comforting voice. Krillin easing me to sleep.
Yeah, he does. That all the menus are like do 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 do
brum brum brum. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I gotta remember to turn on that sleep timer, or else I get in trouble.
I mean, yeah, I remember. It's funny. I think that menu noises are going away. Like I said, which one of these movies is the one that starts with da, 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 and that just shows you that I've experienced that enough to remember it.
Yeah.
But that is funny that that's kind of gone away. I had a buddy. I've talked about him before. Pork. He used to hate like. Watching movies to fall asleep until he started hanging out with me and spending the night and stuff like that, and then it turned into him getting used to it to now he has to watch something to fall asleep.
Fucked him up good.
But I remember clearly, this isn't pork, but the wife. I one time in college, I fell asleep to a movie. She was already asleep, and I kept hearing like some noise and someone yelling like help. I just kept hearing it, help, hearing it. It was the Spaceballs menu.
Oh. Because
there's a cow that goes by and it goes, and then someone goes, help me. Okay, it was probably an hour of that. I heard that and let it fly.
That's a rough one.
What is that noise? But if it was, I wouldn't care.
That because it's cozy.
Yeah, I would have been like, all right, I sleep.
So, yeah, this movie really kicked it off for me, with a love of a whole series.
Yeah,
that
is underappreciated.
We watched it, and it felt different. This movie feels different, mm-hmm. And you know, 15 years old ish, 16 maybe, watching this, I really loved it. And then shortly after watching it, the stars aligned. We were at a mall that had a game store, an EB Games. Remember when those were a thing?
Hot.
And looking at the used PS2 games, and wouldn't you know it, there's a Loop in the Third video game.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? I've never heard of Loop in the Third. Now here's an old video game. So grabbed it, played it. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
I don't think we ever got out of the first level.
Nah. Probably could now, but
yeah, probably.
We got the internet. But I just vividly remember, like, we were at our grandmother's, going to the mall, finding that game, going back to grandmother's place, playing it, and...
Like, this shit's hard. Let's play Mortal Kombat.
But then, you know, stars aligned again, because shortly after that, FYE, mm-hmm. walk-in, that's where I found... They coincidentally re-released more Loop in the Third movies. The Funimation dubs came out.
It's amazing that we can find anything in an FYE anymore. You go in there and you're like, none of these things are in the right place. It's like Godzilla, and you like flip back the tab and there's nothing. It's all gone.
Yeah, I do that with Loop in the Third. There's still Loop in the Third little tags at FYE, but never anything there.
Yeah.
Wow. It's to the point where if I see Loop in the Third at like an exchange or something, I'll buy it. Even if I have it, I buy it, which has never happened, thankfully. But if it did, I'd buy it, because you never see them. I just want to gather it all up as much as I can. I have a little tiny Lupin the Third shelf. I got a statue of Lupin when I went to that TechoCon in 2019. And I told myself, like, every con I go to, it was my first con, but every con I go to, I'm going to get a Lupin the Third statue until I have, like, all the characters. If they're there, kind of thing. But yeah, I really love this character. I love the style, the antics, and the adventures of each of them. Yes, I bitched about Mr. Amamo. I said it was awful. I'll watch it again. I will fall asleep to you again. I'm holding it. But yeah, Lupin the Third. Castle Cagliostro introduced it to me. But It's my favorite one. It's one of my favorite anime movies in general.
Yeah. I was glad we got to watch it again, and I had watched it recently.
Yeah.
Within like the last month or two.
Me too.
But I want to watch it again. Like, I want to watch it again and then again and again.
Yeah, it's one of those I don't get bored of.
No. Yeah, and what's interesting, I wanted to say this, you were like, I felt different watching it when you watched it for the first time. And part of that is due to Hayao Miyazaki making it a more mature approach, and not in a adult way, more of just a like a grown-up kind of way. You're watching in like an Indiana Jones, like a James Bond, like you're watching a regular old movie. It's not a cartoon. It doesn't feel like a cartoon. There are cartoony aspects, so to speak, but the plot is mature. The way the characters act is mature, so to speak.
You still have their personalities that shine through, just not as, I guess, silly as they
yeah.
they
they do get in yeah. some other.
I mean, media. that's one of the wonders that wonders maybe isn't the right word, maybe it's an over-exaggeration, but it's one of the wonders that cartoons or animations can give you. They can exaggerate things and
yeah,
go beyond
exaggerate.
Things.
That's the better
which
word.
Makes things more fun. But, I mean, too, I mean, we mentioned the plot of this movie being that he's kind of trying to figure out, you know, where are these counterfeit bills coming from? And ultimately, they kind of come to the conclusion they're coming from this castle, right? Mm-hmm. And I won't go any further than that, but we are introduced to the bad guy, the Count of Cagliostro, and he is a bastard. And this is where I want to delve into spoilers here. So if you're okay. if you're not about this, maybe, what, 2 minutes ahead? It's not a very... I just want to talk about what happens to the Count of Cagliostro. Okay. Right. Because it is... I mean, I've said it.
This is where you don't jump ahead. You just pause. If you don't want anything yeah. spoiled, go watch the movie. Come back. We'll have you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then so, just hit play.
Yeah, we'll do that. The Count of, so the ending fight of this film between Lupin and the Count, and obviously they've had a lot of different encounters throughout, and Lupin's been trying to save Lady Clarice, his soon-to-be wife, who he's kind of not physically abusive to, very verbally and emotionally abusive to.
He does hit her once or twice.
A
good crack. Yeah,
yeah, he's not a good person. But Lupin's trying to save her. He's also trying to get to the bottom of this. And Zenigata's there and everything. But they have this fight on this really cool art piece of a clock tower on the castle. And
they have a fight in the clock tower.
Yeah.
Which I always love shit like that. Like yeah. Great Mouse Detective, oh, yeah. Dick Tracy.
Batman,
yeah. I love a good tower.
I don't know. Is that a clock tower?
It's a bell tower.
It works.
It's an old school clock.
Yeah, it's something. Yeah, the bell rings. It's noon. You know. But they're fighting and they end up being on like the arms of the watch or of the clock rather.
The hands rather.
Yeah, and the villain, the Count, dies in probably the most gruesome way that a villain has ever died in cinema.
Yeah, top
one of them.
My personal top three favorite movie deaths.
It's rough for a villain. I mean, it's one of those where you're like, hey, he deserved it. But at the same time, you're like, holy shit. he is on, it would be the Minute's Hand hanging on. And the Minute's Hand intertwines with the Hour's Hand, and he just gets smushed
between
two clock hands.
He's trying so hard not to, and he's just like, rrr, rrr, and it zooms out in here and go like, ah.
Yeah, and you're like, Jesus. He just gets smushed between a clock. And that sounds like, eh, watch it. It's kind of rough. And you're like, eesh.
Yeah, rough enough that... You, as you said earlier, like, there's something I want to talk about at the end. Like,
yeah.
I gotcha.
Like, this is, like, that's, it's unique. It's a unique, like, if a lot of the stuff, as I've said, a lot of stuff, if you had this, like, an animated version of this, which we have, obviously, but then a real live-action version of this, and it was a shot-for-shot, everything was the same, even the goofy stuff, the animation version automatically has more heart and more soul to it. Probably because it's animated. If it was live action and they were doing all the goofy stuff, you'd be like, "Ah, that's weird." But it's animated, so it's okay.
It's pass.
Yeah,
it's part of. It's just what.
Yeah,
it
it's
is.
Goofy. It's animation. But then you know, think about it. This is a movie where you have cars literally driving on like the side at like a straight 90-degree angle on the side of a mountain.
You have the classic scene in this movie where Lupin is climbing the castle to go save the princess,
yeah.
or not the princess,
the countess.
But the countess, and he loses his footing and he's falling like yeah. down the slope of this roof, and he jumps with all the momentum he gets, and he literally flies through the air,
yeah,
from
like
tower
goofy
to tower.
Stuff like that. But that stuff gets a pass. But then you have moments where literally the villain gets crushed to death by clock arms, It toes the line, and that's what I think anime does when it's done really well, especially Studio Ghibli, especially Hayao Miyazaki. I know this isn't a Studio Ghibli film, but especially Hayao Miyazaki and then the things he did with Studio Ghibli. You see that where they toe this great line between you know, it's, if you're an adult, it's good for all ages. If you're an adult, you'll love it. If you're a kid, you'll love it. And that's what's great about it. Because I think you could show this movie to a kid. It's not violent, so to speak, and nothing like too gruesome or anything like that, and it would be fine.
Yeah.
And same with like a Spirited Away or a Castle in the Sky or My Neighbor Totoro or any of those films. Maybe not Grave of the Fireflies. You don't want to scar the kid, but you know, you find your way to these films, and this is one of those where it might, for a young kid to watch this, which I once was,
yeah,
it's a cool movie to watch.
You're probably 10 years old when you first saw this.
I mean, I remember watching all the Lupins, because even, you know, you watch them now to fall asleep to, but growing up, I have not a vivid memory, I have a feeling. It's one of those, I always say it's a feeling, because it's like more of a, I have a vague memory of it, and it just gives me a feeling. But I have this feeling of you watching movies, like, just in the background. Like, I'd be walking around the house doing something, and you just have a movie on. The equivalent to, like, having a show or anything on Netflix nowadays. But you would just have, like, a movie in. And maybe you were watching it, maybe you weren't. I don't remember. I just know I was walking around the house at that point in time, because we didn't have many TVs to watch shit on. But I remember Lupin being one of those that was consistently on.
And that's
a feeling, I say. I mean,
it's nostalgia.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I think I said that last week with, was it Dragon Ball Z? I think I said that, or maybe it was the week prior, but I said I have feelings about, you know, I don't, maybe don't have memories, but I have feelings of, like, I remember.
You remember the feelings.
Feeling this. Yeah. Like, I remember loving Dragon Ball Z. I remember walking around the house and experiencing Lupin. I can't tell you specifics, but I remember that feeling of, like, Lupin is on, I'm walking through our old house kind of deal.
Yeah. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
That's what Brothers Movie Factory is all about.
Personal connections.
Personal connection to the Lupin movies, you know, being a young teenager, you know, I didn't cook much for myself.
Yeah.
These were the times that I started, and it was very basic. You know, it was ramen noodles, right?
Eggs.
But for me, it was ramen noodles. But I, like, watching these movies, I would add to them, put a little soy sauce in there, put a little Chianti wine. We had a big jug of wine just used for cooking. I remember doing that shit, making a bowl of noodles, watching some anime, watching mostly Lupin the Third.
Here we are years later, and you're like, I'm going to watch anime tonight. I need Asian food.
Yeah. I mean, tonight, I made you some pho.
Yeah.
Some homemade pho.
P-H-O. The layperson.
Yeah. Just like Lupin is sometimes pronounced Lupin.
For whatever reason. Well, copyrights, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, I think it is probably pronounced Lupin.
Yeah, he's French.
So it's spelled Lupin, but pronounced Lupin.
That's the thing, though, with Arsène. It would probably be Arsène.
Arsène Lupin.
I would imagine, yeah, not Arsène.
Arsène. Oh.
Persona says Arsène. I'm going to trust them.
John Wayne says Arsène.
Arsène.
Yeah.
You know, I've tried. It's funny, because it is spelled Arsène to a degree.
There's a little whoosh.
Yeah, but you can't do that in the English language or keyboards without the tilde or whatever it is. And I've tried it in Warzone, Call of Duty Warzone. You can make your gun, add your mods to the gun and stuff. And actually, in the game, I have like my sniper rifle is called Joker from Persona 5. My other sniper is called Mona from Persona 5. I have another gun called an Izanagi, which is from Persona 4. But I tried to name a gun Arsène for Persona 5 as well, but I couldn't because it was seen as obscene language.
Arsène?
Because it's arson, yeah. Well, I was like, all right. I mean, Arsène is spelled A-R-S-O-N, but I guess.
Well, I guess you should try Lupin.
I should.
The wolf gun.
Wolf gun. Yeah, no, I did. My M4 is named All Might. It's an all-gold M4. It's named All Might.
On a side note, Wolfgun sounds like an awesome heavy metal band.
Wolfgun. I'd rock with that.
Yeah. But
Professor Lupin.
Hey, that was when I saw a third Harry Potter movie, I'm like, hey, that's
you're Arsène.
Yeah, that's a thief. Oh shit.
Hey,
Mickey.
How about?
I caught it. Dropped my beverage.
Got you.
So that about does it for Lupin the Third.
in general, Lupin the Third Castle, Cagliostro. Go find it if you want to get cozy.
And what's interesting about, as we're closing out anime month, and like I said, we're not doing a traditional factory this month, but is we kind of found our way to, like, our original idea was we're going to watch anime movies. And we did. I mean, we watched the My Hero movie, Two Heroes. Or it was Heroes... Yeah, Heroes Rising. Heroes Rise.
Yeah.
Yes. Two Heroes is the first movie. Heroes Rising. But we watched that. But that turned into more of a My Hero Academia slash anime discussion. And then we watched Paprika, which was a Paprika discussion. Then we found our way to a Dragon Ball Z discussion, just talking about the anime of Dragon Ball Z. Not so much the movies, we did toss in those, but the moments and the stories and how we were into it and, you know, why we feel you should watch it. And here we are with Lupin, where we watched Castle of Cagliostro, but very much similar to the My Hero, where it's more of a Lupin discussion. This character, this underrated character, and we didn't want to give you, you know, too much. We want to give you a taste of the glory, see what it tastes like, and go get a little bit of that taste for yourself. Go find it, watch it, enjoy it. I think if you have a Funimation subscription, I don't think Lupin's on there. I do know there's a Fujiko show, which is his femme fatale.
Unfortunately,
on there.
It's not there anymore. It's not there anymore.
Shit. It was there.
Hulu has Lupin the Third, the show.
I feel like this is something we should have done. We're like, you gotta watch these movies and give them no access to the movies.
Hey, rent them.
Rent them. Go find them. Buy them.
Go to the exchange. Find them.
Lupin and rent it. Yeah.
Hit me up.
Is this on HBO Max? Nah. I would have said it's in the Studio Ghibli section, but it's not.
It's not. It's not on there.
But you know, really, here we are honoring Lupin, one of Gus's favorite anime characters, animes in general. An underrated, underappreciated anime, and we're closing out anime month, so to speak, here, and it's really important to note that this whole month, our idea behind our anime month, our four-episode span here, was really just to spread awareness of anime, and to show that it's not necessarily, you know, it doesn't have this stigma behind it, especially now. I think now is one of the best times to get into anime. There's a lot of great things out there to watch, a lot of great things to experience, whether it's My Hero, whether it's Paprika, Dragon Ball Z, or Lupin. There's so many different stories and tales to learn from. I mean, in this show alone, those four that I just mentioned, we went through superheroes. We went through going into dreams and what dreams could do and deeper thoughts with that. We went to Dragon Ball Z, that's all about fights and technically aliens and things of that nature and superpowers. And here we are finishing it out with a thief, a master thief who's a gentleman and, you know, takes care of business very, you know, James, a la James Bond, like we said.
All of very cozy.
Yeah, very cozy. But it's interesting to think, you know, in this month of anime, we've covered so many different genre-esque topics and things like that, that a lot of people don't give anime the light of day. And that was kind of our thought behind this was, you know, if you can bypass your pre-existing feelings towards anime, if you can bypass your pre-existing thoughts, your biases, whatever it may be, and just sit back and enjoy it. I once said something to a friend of mine that I do regret. And it was I told him that I felt that he was very uncultured. I said, he refused to watch anime. He just refused it. He was, no, I'm not watching it, period. End of discussion. It's stupid. I don't want to watch it. No. Never watch it. And I said, I feel like that's just an uncultured thing to say. Like, you just don't want to experience something else. And I regret that because that's, at the end of the day, pretty harsh. But at the same time,
so harsh not to watch something just because.
Yeah. But that's what I'm getting at is, you know, if you can put those away and just kind of sit back and accept it and enjoy it as an art, not as a show, not as a movie, but as an art and entertainment value, you know, then you'll get something out of anime. And that's really what it boils down to. And hey, another thing that I feel like I should say, and I'm sure Gus would agree with me, is if you watch it and it's not for you, that's okay too. A lot of people will say like, oh, you didn't like this and it's an anime. Or, oh, you watched that and you didn't enjoy it and it's an anime. If you didn't like it, it's not for you. It's not for you. That's the same as like me. Like, I don't really care for for whatever reason, like, I'm thinking the Fast and Furious movies or some of these other, like, big blockbuster movies.
Well, that's all just shit.
Yeah, but, I mean, I have friends that love those, and there are obviously a lot of people that love those. They're not for me.
Well,
and
if
they're
not for me, Ben, you're not, just not cultured.
Yeah, it's not for me, I like anime, and that's just how it is, and I feel like I should say that is, you know, if you've taken anything away from these four episodes that we just did, we're spreading our awareness, and you know, you decide to, hey, I'm going to try this. I'm going to watch Lupin. I'm going to watch My Hero. I'm going to watch Dragon Ball Z. I'm going to watch Paprika. And you get into it, and you say, all right, I didn't really enjoy that. That's okay, because at the end of the day, you tried it, and that's really my big thing. I can't speak for Gus, but my big thing is, give it a shot. Give it a try. And if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you tried. And that's important to me.
Indeed. And no finer words have ever or could ever be said about...
Could ever be said.
About the subject of anime.
President Ben walking off the podium.
A vote for me is a vote for anime.
Yeah. Yeah, and so closing out the show with a less traditional closing out anime month as it is, we're gonna just talk some anime memories, anime thoughts, and the things that we maybe didn't discuss yet on the show. Instead of a traditional factory, instead of like a Lupin factory, so to speak, or something like that. Sure. So I'll say this: what is maybe your most important, if you can think about it, like your most important anime moment in your life, whereas like anime triggered something in you, you were like, this is something that I enjoy.
Easy question, easy answer. I've maybe mentioned on the show before, I believe I have. It was it was in 2004 or 5. Father just opened a restaurant. I was working as a dishwasher. It was opening night. Very busy. Didn't get home until 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning, something like that. And
restaurants suck.
You had rented some movies from our local video store, one of them being the film Castle in the Sky. We had seen it as a preview before Kiki's Delivery Service when we'd go to our grandmother's and watch it on VHS. It was a movie we always wanted to see but never had, you know, the access to. And I'm at that age, 15, you know, it was
impressionable.
It was a very impressionable age, especially when it came to art or futures in general. So I'm exhausted. I worked all day. It's late. I'm tired. I'm like falling asleep as I'm standing. You showed me that you rented a few movies, one of them being...
How was I up?
Well,
would be 10.
Castle in the Sky.
Where are our parents?
One of them was Castle in the Sky. I took it, I popped it in, and I was going to fall asleep to it. I ended up staying up for 2 hours, and I watched that movie, blown away. As soon as it started, that music hit, you know, and I was in. And that was the first movie I ever applauded when it ended.
By yourself?
Yeah, I was by myself.
At 3 in the morning.
I knew then that I wanted to tell stories for the rest of my life, and whether it was like as a career or just as a person. Mm. And here I am, spitting into a microphone, talking to whomever.
Yeah.
Telling stories.
All 20 of you.
Hey, that's my life. That's my dream. And it all started from Castle in the Sky. So that's my most significant anime memory, because it's the one that really kickstarted my life, kind of.
What I love about that is I'm involved in it, and I have no memory of doing that. And it's funny to me, it's funny to me that I rented it. And it was probably more of a thought, just knowing myself, that I was like, oh, Gus would probably like this. I'll get it and see. I have no recollection of it. But yeah. It was probably like I saw it, I'm like, that's probably one he'll like. I just grabbed it.
I remember you said it's from, you know, we saw it at the beginning of the previews before Kiki's.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, well, here you go.
Yeah, we always wanted to see it, and we could never find it, and here it was.
Yeah. It's funny that's like a big, I mean, this is a turning point, so to speak, and I don't recall it.
Do you have an answer like that?
Mine's obviously not as big or you know, grandiose, so to speak. I have several. I mean, I talked about one last week where it was my anime renaissance, which, I mean, to someone that doesn't understand that phrase, sound kind of goofy, but I mentioned how, like, I had a very rough freshman year of college with Yu-Gi-Oh! And Dragon Ball Z and Pokemon, even those shows, kind of got me into this rhythm where everything became more familiar and I just was able to lock in and do things and everything became easier. That was a big moment. But in terms of, like, where I really kicked on, I love Princess Mononoke, and this is tying into Hayao Miyazaki, but I love Princess Mononoke, and I was having, again, this ties into my freshman year, I was having a really rough time freshman year, and this was before I started Dragon Ball Z, this is before I started Yu-Gi-Oh! And I was having a really rough time, and like I said last week, I had no friends yet at college. I had no friends, and it was a longer distance relationship with the girlfriend at the time and everything, and it was just a rough time, and it was a weekend alone, you know, and I didn't get along with my roommate. My roommate was actually gone that weekend, so it was just me by myself. I had nothing to do, and I didn't know what I was going to do, and I ended up watching Princess Mononoke, which I had brought from home. And I sat back and I watched it by myself, which I don't do that very often. I don't just sit back and watch a movie alone and enjoy it and kind of break it down, especially a movie like that. And I remember watching it the whole way through and just thinking about all the artistic things that are involved with that movie. Everything that's beautiful about it, the music and the art style and the message and everything like that. And I remember sitting back and just thinking about how important that film was. And the next couple days, that was kind of what I thought about, was Princess Mononoke and how great of a movie it was. And it got my mind off of everything else that was going on, all the serious stuff that was going on in my life currently, and all the things that maybe were bothering me were just kind of melting away, and I was more so focusing in on this film. And since then, whether it be subconsciously, because, you know, this is a memory of that happening, but that's, at the end of the day, an anime movie. That movie has slowly crept up as either my number one or number two movie of all time. I've consistently said Rocky is always my favorite, but Princess Mononoke is a close second or even a first, depending on what day you catch me on. I watch it every year, and I can't say that about Rocky. And that, honestly, to that point tells me whether or not do I like Princess Mononoke more or Rocky more. One of the reasons I don't watch Rocky every year is because I respect it as a film. But also, I watch Princess Mononoke every year because I love it so much. Yeah. So, since then, I've come to respect anime films, especially Studio Ghibli movies, because it kind of helped me get my mind off of things. And that's just something that I recall. It's Princess Mononoke, a night that I spent just by myself watching Princess Mononoke and kind of just realizing all the beauty and things that you can find within an animated feature. And from there, whether it be, you know, a My Hero Academia or a Paprika, where you're viewing it and you're finding beauty in animation, that's something that doesn't take skill, but it takes appreciation. And you just have to maybe be in the right mindset, and I was just in the right mindset at the time to really, truly, I had liked it, but I never maybe appreciated it. And I found myself in that moment that night.
How interesting is it that two brothers on nights alone,
yeah,
found a piece of themselves while watching a Studio Ghibli film?
Yeah.
Different films.
Yes. But very different.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Both Hayao Miyazaki, though.
Indeed. If you want to hear more about Princess Mononoke,
yeah,
hey, check it back.
Go watch it first.
Watch it, and then listen to the Brothers Movie Factory's discussion on Princess Mononoke.
It's an important movie.
It is. It absolutely is. All these films are important, at least to us. So, whatever that means to anyone else, or if there's
one thing that you can take away from these four episodes, as you just said, it's important to us. You can take away that if, you know, we're just two Joe Schmoes at the end of the day, But you can hear the tone in our voice and the passion, and as we're telling the stories, you can determine that, you know, we're not just saying things to say things. We do have feelings about these films and the idea of anime, and, mm-hmm. and that it can be something more than what a lot of people think it is. And so, you know, at the end of the day, like I said a little bit ago, if you watch it, good. Give it a chance, because at the end of the day, I think even if you give it a chance and you realize that it's not for you, you'll gain a new respect for it than if you just never watch it.
Indeed, maybe. And hopefully. And that is the goal of the Brothers Movie Factory Anime Month.
And perhaps we can be something more. Isn't that an Akira line?
And maybe someday we ought to be able to. Because it has already begun.
I was kind of close, but not really at all.
Because hey, you're not.
You know what? I gotta go. I gotta. Oh, my knee just popped. That was gross.
That's what you get.
Oh,
you're not,
my God.
Because you're not cultured.
Oh, that hurt. That like popped hard.
Getting old.
I am getting old. Jeez. But yes, that is Anime Month. Sorry to end it on a popped knee. But that is Anime Month. We hope you enjoyed it. And again, the message is just go give anime a shot. But if you liked what you heard, be sure to check us out over on Audio Boom. That is our primary site. That's where we're posting to first. That's where you get the show first, and then subsequently it gets shipped out everywhere else. So Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, wherever you get podcasts, hey, we are there. You can also find us over on Twitter. We are at The Bros Movie Pod. That's where we're posting links to the show, clips of the show, memes Gus makes, and things of that nature. So check us out over there at The Bros Movie Pod. You can also find us over on Facebook.
Go to Facebook and type in The Brothers Movie Factory. You'll find us. And it's cozy there, trust me. Ooh. And I like to post memes of what we're watching each and every week, as well as links to the thing Ben mentioned a moment ago, like Audio Boom, Spotify, Twitter, and that.
So that is the show. We hope you enjoyed it. But until next Anime Month... Anime Brothers.
Anime Brothers.
Except for that means Anime Brothers.